Hebrews chapter number 6. We turn it up and give it reverb when it's going to be important. So. The Bible says. Hebrews 6, verse number 13. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we men have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Father, thank you that you are the God of truth without iniquity, and pray, Lord, you'd bless your word to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name, and amen. So in your New Testament, your salvation by grace through faith, in order for you to understand that, Abraham is referenced. The fact that the law is a totally separate matter from salvation, when that's set forth in the Bible, Abraham is referenced so we could understand it. And when eternal security is called into question, Abraham is referenced so we can understand the security of the believer. Look with me in Galatians. Romans chapter 4. We'll go there first. Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter 4. We recently ran a two-month-long series on Saturday mornings on salvation in the Old Testament. And the way to understand salvation in the Old Testament is to understand salvation in the New Testament. Because Romans 4 says this, what shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, that'd be James chapter 2, but not before God, that's Romans chapter 4. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So if you want to understand that salvation is by grace through faith without works, you reference the justification of Abraham, which was a declaration of God in response to Abraham's faith without any works on Abraham's part. Praise the Lord. Look in Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2. Well, after I'm saved, do I have to keep the law, the commandments, the ordinances? Do I mix New Testament Christianity with Old Testament Judaism? Well, let's take a look. Galatians chapter 2. And let's start here at... I can't read that whole chapter. Maybe I should. Let's go to chapter 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law should no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. chapter 3, verse number 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. All right, so in chapter 3 and verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of God of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serve the law. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So Abraham's justified by grace through faith as a declaration of God. Why then are we given the law? Or was Israel given the law? Why was man given commandments and ordinances? Not for his salvation, but for his guidance and his instruction, and to restrain his sinful tendencies. But whether or not someone kept that law or didn't keep the law, it didn't disannul the agreement already established that salvation was by grace through faith. Thank the Lord for that. So when we come to Hebrews chapter number 6, let's go back there now. When God made promise to Abraham, verse number 18, or 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly, show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. So, we read the lengthy account of Abraham's life, and we don't find him worthy of salvation. But God said he was saved by believing the gospel that was proclaimed to him, declared to him, according to Galatians. The good news God gave to Abraham is, if you'll believe my word, I will count that unto you for righteousness. Right. So the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 6, if you're the least bit confused about the doctrine set forth in Hebrews 6, look to the life of Abraham. He didn't earn his salvation by works, and nothing he did afterward cost him his salvation, because God promised him eternal life. And that promise didn't rest upon Abraham's faithfulness, it rested on God's faithfulness. That's what you have in Galatians and in Romans and in Hebrews and in Genesis. Abraham didn't earn it. God gave it to him as a gift, and Abraham didn't hold on to it. God maintained it because God's word was at stake. Now, when we take the bigger picture of Abraham's life, the promises that God made to Abraham's children, his seed, the heirs of promise, are the recipients of this original letter, the Hebrews. Have you read the life story of Isaac, who became Abraham's heir, and of Jacob, who became Isaac's heir, and of the 12 tribes who became heirs of the promises made to the patriarchs? It's a disaster. Have you read Judges? Have you read Chronicles? It's a disaster. Maybe you've taken some time to see how God instructed Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel to speak to the heirs of promise. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. And then God manifest in the flesh, came unto his own, and his own received him not, and said, away with this man, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar. And guess who's forming the foundation of the New Testament church? Saved, born again, heirs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because God's promise is immutable. If anyone should have understood that God doesn't break his covenant promises, it would be the Hebrews. You couldn't write this passage in Corinthians. You couldn't write this passage in Ephesians. It wouldn't make any sense to those people at all. But if you wrote to a group of Hebrews and say, you do understand your existence depends upon my immutable promises. So what's that got to do with us? We'll get to that in a second. The reason we reject the Roman Catholic doctrine of replacement theology, that God broke his covenant promises with Israel and transferred them to the church, is that would make God's word mutable. It would be a mutation of God's word. God's promises are immutable. They don't mutate. The reason we reject the Calvinist doctrine of covenant theology and replacement theology, that is, God scrapped Israel and said, couldn't pull it off, sorry, you guys made it impossible for me to do what I promised, I'm gonna transfer all that to someone else. The reason we reject that is God's covenant promises to Israel are immutable. They can't be mutated. So why would God write that in the book of Hebrews? Because if you misread Hebrews chapter 6 and thought you had to be good enough to keep your salvation. Well, I know somebody way worse than you, the nation of Israel. And I know somebody who's failed far more often than you have for longer than you'll live. And yet God will keep every promise he made to them. So the anchor for our soul, Hebrews 6, is that God's words do not get mutated or amended based upon my conduct. Thank you, Lord. That's the only hope I've got. But thank God I have that hope.
Yes, sir.
And I hope that you do tonight as well. Look in Psalm number 19. Psalm number 19. Every lost person that you witness to is lost because they don't believe the Bible is true. That's why. Now they might have 15 other arguments or excuses or things they want to throw at you. But anybody in this world that's lost, if they believed the Bible, they would know they were going to hell. They would know that Jesus Christ would save them if they would call upon him. And if they believed the Bible, they would do it. So what Satan wants to do in every possible way is convince unsaved people not to believe the Bible. Right? Now, as soon as people get saved, what do you think the devil's going to do? Give up?
Right.
No. He's going to try again to get your minister or your Bible school professor or some theologian on the internet to get you to stop believing the Bible. Why? Because if he can't keep you from getting saved, he will keep you from, as Hebrews is encouraging us to do, go on to perfection. And what would keep you from getting saved? Doubting God's word. What would keep you from going on to perfection? Doubting God's word. And so every man that stands in a pulpit and says, this verse is not translated correctly, this word shouldn't be in the Bible, the originals read differently than your translation, he's doing the devil's work. I didn't say he was the devil. He might just be doing what he was taught to do. But God's promises, the only way you can have assurance, full assurance, hope like an anchor for your soul, is if you believe God's promises are immutable. They can't be mutated. And so, we didn't record through the decades, we haven't recorded all these Bible studies against Calvinism and covenant theology and replacement theology and Roman Catholicism. And we haven't made all those studies to turn you against particular branches of professing Christianity. We've made all those studies to show you if you don't believe God's words as they stand, you're going to get into some kind of heresy or another that won't be helpful. And so, I'm not, if a man's saved and he's a Calvinist, if a man's saved and he goes to a Catholic church, if you can do that, I'm sure some people do. If a man's saved and he thinks that God's broken thousands of promises in the Old Testament and transferred them to somebody he never made them to, I didn't say you weren't saved. I didn't say you weren't a brother in Christ. I said the unwillingness to take God's words as they stand and believe them as they are written is the very thing Satan has done from Eden to this very day to keep you from having assurance. If what God promised Israel isn't sure, you can't be sure what God promised you. What God promised His Old Testament people isn't certain, then how can you say what He promised His New Testament people is certain? Right. So you have to take God at His word, or you can't believe anything. Amen. I used to ask the pastor, a godly man, really he was, a godly man, separated man, dedicated Christian man, kind man, gracious man, salvation, gospel preaching man, Bible teaching man. He couldn't get through a sermon without saying, this verse isn't right. This word should be. And I finally asked him one afternoon, I said, Preacher Phil, could you just take my Bible and mark for me what parts of it I can actually believe? Because I don't want to be reading a whole chapter thinking I can believe it when, according to you, most of it's wrong. And he thought I was being disrespectful, and I probably was. But I got more respect from the book, for the book, than I do for preachers who criticize the book. The book. These meds I'm on, I feel like I'm getting older and older, but I sound like I'm getting younger and younger. So look at Psalm number 19. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, why don't people get converted? They have doubts about the law of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. How come there's saved people who can't make good decisions? Well, if the Bible's not true, they got to trust something else, and nothing else will help you make good decisions. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I know a lot of saved people. I don't know a lot of people who are enjoying being saved. Why? Well, they think the internet's right. They think the news media is right. They think their chat group is right. They think their shrink is right. I think the Bible's right. Makes life very enjoyable. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know why young men grow up in church and end up living dirty lives? They don't believe the Bible. You know why young ladies grow up in church and end up living like trash? They don't believe the Bible. What will keep you pure and walking in the light is believing God's word. Not sitting in a church where it's preached, not believing it. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now watch. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's it. Now, if you want to take the Bible a la carte, I'll take a little salvation, I'll take a little heaven, I'll take a little gather with the loved ones in eternity, but I don't want the whole thing. You're not going to get the truth. Because it's true and righteous altogether. That's why in order to get the truth of Hebrews 6, you don't pull some verses out of Hebrews 6 that look like salvation is by works. You take the altogether of the Bible, the repeated references to Abraham, and you realize it couldn't possibly be by works, or that man wouldn't be in the roll call of faith. If it was the roll call of works, it'd be a blank page. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. The greatest gift God ever gave was His Son on the cross. The second greatest gift God ever gave was faith to believe this book. And every day you read this Bible and you believe it in your heart, you ought to thank God for that. Amen. Now, take a look here. Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God, apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Hallelujah. If my eternal life was conditioned upon me not lying, if yours was conditioned upon you not lying, you'd have reason to be concerned. But if God says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, and the God who said that cannot lie, that's some anchor. That's some assurance. God cannot. He cannot lie. You know, you have to say things today that 10 years ago, if you said them, people would think you were crazy. So let me just say in case one of you missed it. A man can't become a woman. And a man who says he's become a woman can't have a baby. It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible for you to mutate from male to female or mutate from female to male. Now you can be mutilated, but you can't be mutated. I don't say that with any hate in my heart. Well, why can't a man say I'm a woman and have a baby? It's not possible. It can't be done. You know what God can't do? He can't mutate into a liar. He can't change himself from someone who doesn't lie to someone who does lie. He cannot lie. It's just not possible. If he wanted to, he couldn't do it. If he tried to, he couldn't do it. Praise God. So if he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm as certain of having everlasting life as I'm certain none of these young men will ever get pregnant and have a baby. It's impossible for them to do that. It's impossible for God to lie. Praise the Lord. Your country is messed up, man. It is. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. You know, all of these strange and bizarre things that people are doing and claiming and marching about, all they are is just the declaration, we don't believe God. We don't believe the Bible. Numbers chapter 23. And verse 16, the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Hallelujah. If God was just like you, if he's just a man, you got no anchor. You've got no hope. You've got no assurance. Because, as to quote the scripture, all men are liars.
Yes, sir.
God's not a man. He's not a liar. And what he's spoken, he'll make it good. Now watch what. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Maybe I should set the stage for you. The people that came out of Egypt are dropping dead by thousands every single day because of their rebellion. They're murmuring over here and a bunch of them die. They're griping over here and a bunch of them die. Fiery serpents and some of them are dying. Plagues and some of them are dying because the wages of sin is death. And so this king who doesn't want God to keep the covenant promises they made to the people he brought out of Egypt and give them the land of promise, hires this preacher who'll preach anything for anybody if the price is right. And he hires this preacher, and the preacher said, well, let me go through the formalities here. Let me get with God. And then I'll come and preach the message. And so he gets with God and he comes. He says, King, you might want to sit down for this one. God blessed these people and he can't lie. God made a covenant with these people and I can't reverse it. And those people that you see who absolutely deserve to die, God said he hasn't beheld iniquity in them. Did you read that? He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. 25,000 of them died for perversion. Then how did the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob get into Canaan land and get the land? Well, it sure couldn't have been by works. It sure couldn't have been because they lived it. It sure couldn't have been because after they got out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, they held on to their righteousness. I guess the only thing it comes down to is God made a promise and he can't lie. And it can't be reversed. Now look, instead of adopting some theology where that's not true, God gave that to you in Hebrews so you would know that transgression might cost you the full blessings that you could have had if you'd been obedient. But they do not disannul the promises that God made you.
Yes, sir.
And the anchor for our soul is not what a good boy I am in the wilderness. The anchor of my soul is what a good God I have.
Yes.
That while I'm making a mess out of my journey, he looks down and says, I'm sorry, I've already credited him with righteousness. I can't change that now. I've already given to his account righteousness. If I said he wasn't righteous, I'd be lying. Thank you, Lord. That's really a blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Next book over. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse number 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And O earth, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. Praise the Lord. There's not a person living on the face of the earth that could say, I'm truth. I'm without iniquity. But this God, you can trust every word He ever said.
Amen.
Every word He ever said. Hallelujah. We did Numbers. Job 34. Job chapter 34. Job 34. Verse number 10. Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that He should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that He should commit iniquity. Now that's what I believe about God. That's what I want you to believe about God. It's a sin to lie, and God doesn't sin. It would be an act of iniquity to break one's word, to go back on one's promises. And God just doesn't do that. All right, back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So let's go back to Genesis, two places, chapter 12. Go there first of all, Genesis chapter 12. And verse number 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them, notice the plural, that bless thee, and curse him, notice the singular, that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Your world is so opposed to the Word of God that out of all the people groups on earth who could be universally hated, the one that's universally hated is the one the Lord said would be a blessing to all nations. That's how much they hate the Word of God. And we said, well, I don't see why God would bless them. There isn't any reason why God would bless them. Now listen, stay with me. Don't go political. This isn't politics. This is Bible. When you say Israel has been horrific in their conduct, therefore I just can't believe that God will keep this promise, what you're doing is shaking your own ability to believe in eternal security of the Christian. Because if Israel's conduct makes God lie, then you have reason to wonder if your conduct will make God lie a second time. Look at Genesis 15. People say, you just love the Jews. I don't have any different feeling about them than anybody else. But it's odd there's so much hate for a group of people that, well, you know, they start wars. Everybody with enough money starts a war. And usually it's our money. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Brother David taught on that just a few weeks ago. The passage is about us fighting amongst ourselves. There's something to be concerned about. Anyway, look at chapter 15. So Abraham is out here in the middle of the night. And the Bible says in verse number 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So, God, you made me this promise back in chapter 12, and I'm not seeing anything happening here. Verse 4, Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This should not be thine heir, but he that should come forth out of thine own bowels should be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, a teller in a bank, that's somebody who counts the money. Count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. Praise God. You know what happens in the next chapter? Abraham does the stupidest thing. He fathers a child with the housemaid. And the world, I mean, apart from Adam's sin in the garden, no sin has cost this world more dearly than Abraham fathering Ishmael. He doesn't make one chapter standing on the promise that God made him. In chapter 15, God makes him a promise. In chapter 16, Abraham strikes out. In chapter 21, God gives him the miracle baby. Chapter 22, Abraham and Isaac come picture of Christ dying on the cross. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen to this day. And God writes down in the New Testament, in Romans, in Galatians, in Hebrews, in James, Abraham's your example.
Yes, sir.
Because the man by and large was a wipeout. But God can't lie. God's promises are immutable. So when somebody comes, here's what they do. They'll come to you and say, "So, well, I don't believe God's going to keep all those Old Testament promises. Why not?" Well, look how those people live. Those same people will say to you, "I don't believe in eternal security." You can't tell me somebody could live like that and be saved. What are they saying? They're saying, "I believe salvation is by works." And if salvation is by works, heaven will be empty. There won't be a single man there but Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6, come back there, Hebrews 6. Verse number 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. God, that's as high as it gets, so he swear by himself. Here's two things you can count on, me and me. With the cross references, you could say God and his written word. So what's going on in the Bible colleges? What's going on in the seminaries? The word is mutable. Yeah. We have a mutated Bible. We have mutated scriptures. Well, there goes one of the two planks God gave you to stand on for the hope of your soul. That's not a good thing. Two immutable things which was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation. That's a great word. Some of you guys done sports. Some of you girls, ladies have done sports. You know what the consolation prize goes to? The loser. You know what God said? Hey, losers. Eternal security. Your consolation prize is that you didn't make God break His word. Now, the first prize would have been no sin. Jesus already won that. So the best we can hope for is the consolation prize. The consolation prize is His righteousness gets me in. His righteousness gets you in. That's about the best consolation prize you could ever get. So, strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Lord willing, with our next lesson, or probably next Sunday morning, we'll talk about that fleeing for refuge, because that's a powerful picture in the New Testament. But I don't want to do that tonight. But I tell you what we've done, save people. We've fled from our unbelief, put our faith in God. Amen. We've fled from our old life, decided to live a Bible life. We've fled from the things we used to trust. We now are people of the book. We've fled from beliefs that the Bible showed to be inaccurate. We've fled from trust in the wrong people and the wrong sources and in ourself. And I tell you tonight, the more you can just take God's book as it's written and believe it as it stands, the stronger your anchor will be, the stronger your hope will be, the greater your assurance will be.
Amen.
If you think God could lie, you can't have full assurance.
Right. Yeah.
If you think God would lie, you can't be certain. But if it's impossible for God to lie, if God cannot lie, you can say, I know that I have eternal life.
Amen.
So if God kept covenant with the people who have sinned and disappointed Him for thousands of years, He'll certainly keep covenant with someone who's only disappointed Him for a few short years. Abraham's failure is not an argument against the promises of God. It's an argument for the promises of God. It gives all us failing people hope. Thank God. Thank God. Heavenly Father, we're really...